The main goal of Karikakar Gaudapadacharya is to establish that Advaita alone is there. There is no duality that exists. So therefore he wants to say Advaita Siddhi is achieved. And he will actually be able to say that at the conclusion of the 30th verse, which we'll definitely conclude today. But on his way to this conclusion, we saw that a logical doubt or a logical question may arise. And that logical question is, Shruti is not very clear. Upanishads are not very clear in ascertaining that Advaita alone exists. Because if Advaita alone exists, that means that there is no reality given to the creation. Whether the creation is the creation of the universe or whether the creation is the creation of the individuality. So neither the individuality nor the totality is created. But in Upanishads, at many places we find that there is a mention that this world has been born out of Brahman. Mm-hmm. So therefore Brahman has been mentioned as the cause of creation. And at the same time, the Shruti also tells us that Brahman alone exists. It is that impeccable truth which is indivisible. So therefore there must be nothing other than Brahman that is there, which is what we know as Advaita Vedanta. So therefore the Dvaitis, the Dvaita Advaitins, the Visista Advaitins, and the other schools of philosophy like Purva Mimamsa Ityadi, including Nyaya and Yoga, they all believe that God is unborn, and God through his power, which may be Maya, creates this world. This is not acceptable to the Advaita Vedantins, because if the world is created, there has to be a duality. So the Advaita Vedantin does not want to accept that. And so in this Karika, with respect to this Upanishad that we have seen already, the Karikakar goes ahead to logically establish that no creation could have been arisen. And now he is logically and scripturally establishing that it is not possible that the entire Jagat, the Srishti, is created. So nor as the individuality, nor as the totality. So that is where we are. And he says to this Purva Paksi that in order to ascertain which is the truth in the Upanishad, what is the factual statement in the Upanishad, we must analyze it two ways. Number one is Nischitam. This was mentioned in 23rd stanza that we saw yesterday. And the other is Yukti Yuktam. So Nischitam means there has to be a definitive, complete and correct reading and interpretation. So therefore Sravana must be very complete, not half-hearted, not left in between, which will indicate which is a higher statement and which is a lower statement. So the higher statement is that which actually negates the lower statement. So what is the lower statement? The lower statement is that the world is created. So there is a dvaita. Mm-hmm. There is duality. The higher statement is, world cannot have been created. And we will see that more today, actually, in our stanzas that we'll be covering today. World cannot have been created from the Brahman, so that there is Advaita. Total non-duality alone exists. The second method, he says, is Yukti Yuktam. So therefore, whatever we actually understand has to be according to the logic. If it negates the logic, while logic cannot take us all the way to realization, logic definitely has to help us take us all the way to the doorstep of realization. Therefore, that which is not logical, we must question and we may not accept. So therefore, these two methods are used So from stanza number 24 to 26 that we saw yesterday already, Shruti analysis through Nischitam is done. Okay. So therefore, there are about six statements were given, quoting for various Upanishads. And these Upanishad statements clearly seem to indicate that no creation has happened. Brahman alone exists as Advaitam, as non-dual, as one supreme reality alone. Now today from stanza number 27 to 30, we will say that logically also you will come to the same conclusion. So no Shruti is going to be mentioned, no mantras are going to be quoted in the first four mantras we will do today, in the first four sloka in Karika we will do today. No mantras are quoted, only logic is used to ascertain that this world could not have been created from Brahman. So let us start with stanza number 27. I will chant and then you repeat. Those of you who do not have the book, I will strongly recommend that you go ahead and buy the book. The book is available from Chinmay Mission Bookstore. You can actually go online and order it and it will be mailed to you at your home. Also, please note that I am not quoting Gurudev's commentary because I assume that either before the class or after the class, you will be reading and absorbing Gurudev's commentary. So therefore, I try to bring out newer ideas, newer way of saying things, etc., etc. So, and that I'm doing that because I'm expecting that you are all Upanishadic students and you are definitely reading Gurudev's commentary either before or after the class. Okay. So with that, let me chant stanza number 27, chapter number 3, Advaita Prakaran of Mandukya Karika. Satohi Mayaya Janma, Satohi Mayaya Janma, Yujyate Natu Tattvatah, Yujyate Natu Tattvatah, Tattvato Jayate Yasya, Tattvato jayate yasya, jatam tasya hi jayate, jatam tasya hi jayate. So there are two possibilities in which this world could have been created. And that is that either this world is created from Sat Brahman or the world is created from Asat Brahman. Sat means that which is existing at all times, at all places, which is impeccable. Truth, which is totally avikari, that cannot change, which is changeless. So therefore, world can be either created from Sat Brahman like that, or we have to assume that the world was created from Asat Brahman, that Brahman which is actually changing, that Brahman which is not present, the same at all times. So the first case we will take up is, and this is again, remember, this is logical analysis. The first case we will take up is, world could not have been created from Sat. How can we say that? So first of all, the teacher says, let us assume that the world is created from Sat. That world is created from real Brahman, and so therefore Brahman is the real cause of the creation of this Srushti, the world, the jagat. Now, if that happens, then we will have to say that Brahman is Savikari, because any cause that creates an effect undergoes change, not only as a material cause, but also as an efficient cause. So therefore, even if we say that no, he's only an efficient cause, of course, we will then question as to where the material came from. But regardless, the material cause has to modify and undergo change, but the intellectual change or efficient cause will also have to modify because something is being created. So the change has to be there. So therefore, if we say that this world is created out of the real Brahman, so therefore it is a real world, then we have to say that Brahman is Savikari. So Brahman is changeable. It is not changeless. Now, if we say that it is not changeless, then we have to say there are sixfold modifications they are superimposed on Brahman. What are those? Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Nasyati. So these sixfold modifications, what are the sixfold? Existence, Asti, Jayate, Birth, Vardate, Growth, Viparinamate, Maturity, Apakshiyate, Old Age, Withering Away, Nasyati, Finally Death. So therefore we have to say that these sixfold modifications are equally applicable to this Brahman, whom we are calling as Sat. But today is now Savikari, it is changing. So if Brahman, in other words, we say is the cause, then it has to be a karya. It has to be an effect. And therefore, if it is an effect, and if it is changing, because it isn't changing, so it is an effect, then it must have its own cause. So we'll have to say that there is a cause for the Brahman. Then we can say, okay, the cause for Brahman is A. Then we'll have to say that A is then created Brahman. So therefore, that is also an effect. So A must also have a cause. Indeed. So then we'll say B is the cause of A. Then we'll say C is the cause of B. So there will be an infinite regression. We'll keep on going back and there'll be no end to it. Therefore, Gaudapadacharya here says that really speaking, Brahman cannot be the real cause of this universe. Therefore, this universe is not born. On the other hand, he says, now let's go back to the stanza. Satohi mayaya janma yujyade natu tattvata. Satohi, from this Sat Brahman, from the all-existing, all-pervading avikari Brahman, non-changing Brahman, the Brahman that is the same at all times, at all places, under all conditions, that Brahman maya janma yujyate, using the maya, through the power of maya, this apparent world is created. Where did you find this apparent world? Immediately Gaudapadacharya says janma, but it is not the creation of the real world. So he indicates that. He says natu tattvata, it is not a real creation. Real creation, we have to here understand what we mean by real creation. So I'll use some examples to make this point. Real creation is that which is really the tattva, which is the substance. So for example, if you look at the table, which is made out of wood, or the chairs which are made out of wood, or the podium that is made out of wood, in all these different names and forms and utility, because chair is used to sit, table is used for writing, podium is used for giving lectures or have some dance rehearsal or something. Each one of them have a different utility. Each one of them have a different shape. And because they have a different shape and form, they have different names to distinguish. Because if I tell you bring that wood, you will look at me and say, which wood are you talking about? Should I bring the table to you or should I bring the chair to you? But whether you bring the table or whether you bring chair to me, they both are substantially what? Wood. So when we talk about tattvatah reality, the real existence, we are talking about the substance and not the name, form and utility. So therefore in substance, this world is not created different from Brahman. In substance, this world is nothing but Brahman. What multiplicity we are looking at is nothing other than projection. And now remember, this Brahman is no different distinct entity other than the Self. Advaita Vedantin goes on saying that nothing other than the Brahman exists. That means what? I am also Brahman. Isn't it? Everything is Brahman only. But I don't really... My existence as real existence apart from Brahman is not there. My existence apart from Brahman is only an apparent illusion created by the Maya. And because the mind actually works in duality, and the mind gets engrossed in different names and shapes and forms and utility, therefore we feed this mind over and over again and again, that takes the focus of our attention away from that on whose substratum everything is existing. So therefore he says, tato hi mayaya janma yujyate natu tattvatah. Tattvata jayate yasya. He says, in case, we already saw this, but I will translate it for you. Tattvata jayate, in case Brahman is the real cause, he says, jatam tasya hi jayate, then it must also have its own cause. And so there will be, like I said earlier, there will be a regression of what is the cause for Brahman, what is the cause of the cause for Brahman, what is the cause of the cause of the cause of Brahman, etc., etc. We'll go on, there will be no end to it. So therefore, Gaudapada Acharya feels that with this logical argument, he has proven to us that Sat Brahman cannot create this world. And since Sat Brahman cannot create this world, therefore the world is not Sat. It cannot be really existing. It only has a relative reality, it only has an apparent reality, it only has a reality different from absolute reality. Okay. Now in the next stanza, Gaudapada Acharya will try to prove to us that world could not have been created from asat also. This is an easier proposition, so I think it will be easy for us to understand. So let us see that. Stanza number 28. I will chant and you chant after me again. Asato mayaya janma. Asato mayaya janma. Tattvato naiva yujyate. Tattvato naiva yujyate. Pandya putro na tattvena. Vandya putro na tattvena. Mayaya vapi jayate. Mayaya vapi jayate. Asato. So let us say that now the Brahman is asat. Asat means savikari, saguna, everything. Everything that we know about Brahman, opposite to that. So it is asata. So this asata, unreal Brahman, let us assume that there is a janma, there is a creation. Naiva yujyate. It is not possible. Why? Because tattvataha, it does not exist. Tattvataha means in really, it does not exist, it is unreal. So how can a real world come out from an unreal source? In order for real world to appear, it has to come from a real soul. Therefore, unreal cannot be born. Unreal cannot be the cause of a real world. Then you say, okay, well, maybe then I will go back to your initial argument and I will accept as a Purva Paksi. I say I will accept the fact that maybe it is not really born, but it is apparently born. So Maya also. Okay, I accept now. Is it not possible for the unreal world to be born from unreal? And Gaudapada Acharya looked at that person with a little smile on his face to indicate that to assume or to even say that unreal is born from unreal is true negation. It doesn't make any sense, logical sense whatsoever. That means to say that nothing is there and nothing is born out of nothing. Nothing is there, nothing is there. What do you mean nothing is born out of nothing? There is no birth is necessary, isn't it? So therefore, it is said that this argument Gaudapada Acharya has put to refute the Sunyavadin of Buddhist philosophy. Because they say only void exists, whereas we say that Brahman exists. So therefore, there is an observer who observes that there is nothing. If we argue with the Sunyavadis, we will have to say that. You say there is Sunya, that is, you say there is nothing. Who observed there is nothing? There has to be an observer to say there is nothing. So that observer is Brahman. That observer is the witness consciousness. So therefore, asato maya janma, tatvato naiva yujyate. Vandyaputra, now he gives an example. Vandyaputra na tatvena mayaya vapi jayate. If there is a barren woman, this is the common translation in, and this is a common example also in our sastra. A barren woman, you cannot say that she gave birth to a child. Because she is not, it's not possible to have a child from her. So therefore, not only a real child will come, but neither an apparent child will also come from her. So na tatvena na mayaya vapi jayate. So this example is given to indicate that from unreal, nothing can be born. So therefore, Sat or Asat Brahman, neither one of them can really create a world. Therefore, this world cannot be real. That is what he wants to prove. That is what he has proven. But he continues in the next two stanzas. And then he will put an end to this logical as well as scriptural argument. And he will then wash his hands and say, okay, I'm done. I have now proven to you conclusively that the world is unreal and Brahman is not the cause of the creation of the world. So let us see what else he has to say. Okay. Now, before we go into that, let me just tell you. So let us suppose we are the Purvapakshi. We are the Purvapakshi. Purvapakshi means we are... We have conflicting view, okay? In our commentary by Shankaracharya and everywhere, there is a Siddhanti and Purvapakshi. Two words are used. Siddhantis are the one who are actually arguing according to the scriptural interpretation. Purvapakshi have their own interpretation, so they actually argue. So let us suppose we are the Purvapakshi. Now, the teacher has already proven to us, he thinks that that the world could not have been created either from the real Brahman or the unreal Brahman. But then we will say, wait a minute, philosophically it sounds very good. You are very eloquent in your speech. But what about this thing that I am seeing? How can I say that the world is not real because I interact with it? I am seeing it even right now when you are talking to me. This is world, this is duality. I am the student, you are the teacher. Mm-hmm. Philosophically, yes, I agree. Philosophically, maybe I will accept it. But in reality, it is not true. So therefore, how can I say that the world is unreal? It is clearly visible to me. It is clearly tangible to me. It is clearly useful to me. It clearly gives me a lot of problems and sorrows and joys and misery and everything. I'm doing transactions with it all the time. Do you think this is all unreal? So all this argument is based on what? All these arguments are based on the fact that I am able to do transaction with the world. I am able to do transaction with the world. I am able to experience the world. Gaudapada Acharya will come and say, just because you are experiencing the world, it does not necessarily mean that the world is real. Mm. And what example you think he will give?
Swapna.
You know it. He's going to give the example of?
Swapna.
Swapna. He's going to give the example of dream state. So this dream state comes very, 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 is very handy in the hands of Advaita Vedanti. If the dream state was not there, I think the Advaitis will have to figure out how to explain this. But because of the dream state, it becomes very easy for us. So let us chant now. Stanza number 29. Yatha swapne dvayabhasam.
यथा
स्वप्ने द्वया भासं स्पन्दते मायया मनः स्पन्दते मायया मनः तथा जाग्रत्त्वया भासं तथा जाग्रत्त्वया भासं स्पन्दते मायया मनः स्पन्दते मायया मनः यथा तथा Yatha sapne tatha jagrat. So he says, yatha sapne, just as in the dream state, dvaya bhasam spandate. We spin out dvaita. We spin out duality, because in the dream state we see a lot of entities, lot of things, plus myself, of course, as a dreamer. So the dreamer and the entire dream world of multiplicity of entities are available there. How have they come? Manah Maya. They have come from this, temporarily we have to say, they have come from this non-dual mind. Mind is only one, isn't it? We are all given one mind. So therefore, when we say, I have changed my mind, not really that I have changed my mind. I have changed the thoughts in my mind. Or I have, say, maybe perfected the mind. So Maya Manah, through Maya. Through what? Through veiling and projection. What is the veiling? While I am in the dream state, I don't know that I am the Mr. Waker. And since the identity of me as the Mr. Waker is veiled, I now project the dream. And the dreamer and the whole dream world is projected. Similarly, he says, and he says, definitely you experience it. The dream gives sorrows, the dream gives joy. The dream, you can actually think that, yes, you are grasping the objects. You are understanding, you are, it's very logical. While you are dreaming, after the dream is over, we may think that it's not logical. But while dreaming, it seems very logical. So therefore, he says, Tatha jagrata dvayabhasam. Similarly, he says, when you are awake, you see this duality, and this duality of various entities, of various things and beings are spun out by what? By Maya Manaha. Also, the mind webs out this entire existence of multiplicity through Maya. Here the Maya is veiling the Brahman, and here the Maya is projecting the world. Now, this veiling the Brahman, I think I have talked about it previously also, but let me just tell me again. Because this is very important. Maya is a very important concept. And the Maya concept of Advaita Vedantin is very different from all other schools of philosophy in Hinduism. And you should know that. In all other schools of philosophy, Maya is taken as a real power that the Ishvara wills. Maya is taken as power through which Lord creates the universe. And Lord has created all of us. Advaita Vedanta, because Advaita, one non-dual existence alone is there, does not accept that in reality the world is created. Therefore, the Maya concept of the Advaita Vedanti is different. And it is said that it is, Maya is, actually really does not exist. So therefore, I think I last, yesterday also I told you, Maya cannot be told, called real. Maya cannot be called unreal. We cannot say that Maya started in such and such time, but we can definitely say that I have ended the Maya for me. So when we realize, Maya ends for me. Maya is nothing other than avidya. Maya is nothing other than ignorance. And since this world exists in my ignorance, we say that this world is mithya. It does not have a real existence. It only has an apparent existence. So Maya and Mithya, this concept, the two concepts go together. So two things are hidden by Maya. Subjectively, we can say that while I am the pure consciousness alone, like the sun, I'm going to use the same example so it makes it easier to understand. While I am the pure consciousness alone as the sun, Maya actually makes me think that through association with the reflection of the sun in water, it makes me think that this is me. Mm. So therefore, this hiding, the veiling is my identification being with the real me, unfortunately switches to my identification with my ego. Which ego? The mind, intellect, chitta and ahankar, antakar. That is at the subjective level. At the objective level, when I am perceiving the world, we have to take this second indication of Brahman. Brahman is Sat Chit. Chit is the consciousness part. The consciousness is hidden from me. The real source of consciousness is hidden from me. And I feel that I am this reflected consciousness. And so I feel that I am this mind, I am this intellect, I am this body. Now when we interact with the Jagat, we can only interact with the Jagat if it exists. This existence principle of the world is borrowed again from Brahman. And this is easy to understand. For example, we know that there is space. Let's suppose there was no space. Nothing can exist if there is no space.
Mm-hmm.
Space itself exists in Brahman, according to Vedanta. So therefore, without Brahman, even space cannot exist. So therefore, this existence principle of Brahman, because of which everything is existing in the world outside, because of which we are able to do the transaction, this is hidden. So Maya, at the Jagat level, hides the very existence principle of Brahman and gives us the appearance that all the individualities are existing on their own, that they have their real existence. And so Maya works two ways. This is what creates an illusion that this world is real, and I as an individual entity am interacting with the world outside. So dvayabhasam spandate maya, this is what they mean by maya. Okay. Now in the 30th stanza, he concludes this topic. Let us scan stanza number 30. Advayam chadvayabhasam. Advayam chadvayabhasam. Manasvapnena sanshayaha. Manasvapnena sanshayaha. Advayam chadvayabhasam. Advayam chadvayabhasam. Tatha jagratna sanshayaha. Tatha jagratna sanshayaha. So advayam, this non-dual mind, here we have to say non-dual, not Brahman, but mind. In fact, it says mana there. Advayam cha dvayabhasam mana. So this non-dual mind, so again, not an absolute sense. Non-dual mind is not used here as an absolute sense. Non-dual is only Brahman, of course. But this non-dual mind, it creates the multiplicity of the dream. In that sense, it is called non-dual mind. So advayam mana, dvayabhasam swapnena sanshaya. This non-dual mind projects multiplicity of images in the dream state. There is no doubt about it. Nobody has any doubt about it. We don't have to be a Vedantin student to really accept that, because it is accepted universally. My mind alone appears in the dream as multiplicity of things, including my dreamer I. So therefore he says, now he says, tatha, just as this you accept, he says, tatha jagrat na sanshaya. Similarly in the waking state also, same thing is happening, advayam cha dvayabhasam.
Mm.
It is the non-dual which is appearing as multiplicity of this world. So therefore this non-dual reality alone is appearing as multiplicity in the world in the waking state also. So therefore there is a similarity between the waking world and the dream world. And if you have negated the dream world, according to this logic, Gaudapadacharya feels that we should be able to negate, at least logically, negate that this world is also perhaps not as real as I thought. Okay, so with that, like I said, Gaudapadacharya feels that he has done Vedanta, Advaita Siddhi is over, that he established very clearly in our mind that there is really nothing other than non-dual Brahman alone exists. So that subject matter is over.
Mm-hmm.
Now from the 31st stanza, a couple of things are being described. We being we, although intellectually we may have grasped this, we may have accepted it also. We may feel that yes, it has to be like that. He knows that it hasn't become part of our personality. We have not integrated this knowledge into my personality, and therefore no psychological change has happened. Gaudiya Padacharya, being a compassionate teacher, he wants to make sure that the psychological change also happens, because that is the only way we get the benefit of realization. Intellectual knowledge has no long-lasting effect. So therefore, he picks up this other topic from 31st stanza. And the topic is that from 31st to 39, he tells us what is the cause of this samsara. What is the cause of this samsara? And what is the remedy to get out of this samsara so we get established in the Brahman? Very interesting topic, very relevant topic. And he will have a lot of things to say about it. So I think we have to be very careful in understanding it. So he is talking about what is the cause of this samsara, what is the remedy to get out of it. Okay, some very simple ideas are given, so it should not take us too long to understand what he's saying. So let us launch right into that. Stanza number 31st. Mano drushyamidam dvaitam. Mano drushyamidam dvaitam. Yatkincha sacharacharam. Yatkinchit sacharacharam. Manaso yamani bhave. Manaso yamani bhave. Dvaitam naivo palapyate. Dvaitam naivo palapyate. Okay, he draws upon a very, very simple observation that we have made. And a very simple observation that we will all identify with. We know that when we are sleeping, and I'm not talking about dream here, I'm talking about deep sleep. When we are in deep sleep, we don't have the experience of dvaitam. We don't see any duality. Our experience is what? Non-dual. It is only in the waking state and the dream state that I have the experience of duality. And all my problems are only in waking and the dream state. Raga, dvesha, krodha, lobha, moha, maya, pravritti, nivritti. If I translate it, maybe attachments, likes, dislikes, anger, greed, working, not working, pravritti, nivritti, activity, non-activity, right? All those are problems that are when? In my waking state and dream state. None of this even touch me. Save me, none of them even touch me when I'm in the deep sleep. So therefore, his conclusion is that the cause of samsara is perception of duality. If I don't perceive duality, then the samsara cannot touch me. So all the problems of samsara, samsara means this world, this universe, all the problems that, all the challenges that I face in my life is because of the perception of duality. Therefore, if I perceive Advaita, if I perceive oneness, if I perceive non-dual in everything, then I will be realized. Then I will be in moksha. Then I'll be free from bondage. So this is his hypothesis. It's really based on our own experience. The samsara cannot touch me, the world cannot touch me when I'm in the deep sleep state, because I don't perceive duality. Whereas in the waking state and the dream state, I'm affected because I'm perceiving duality. Therefore, while I am in the waking state, supposing I do not perceive the duality, then this world cannot touch me. Mm-hmm. So, now in deep sleep we say that there is no duality. But what is happening in deep sleep? What is happening in the deep sleep is that my mind is not active. In Jagrat Avastha, in the waking state, mind is very much active. In the dream state, mind is active, it has gone into slumber, and therefore it is projecting things that are not real. Pratibhasik satta is there in dream state. Vyavaharik satta is there in the waking state. So empirical reality is there in the waking state, and total falsehood is there in the dream state, which we are aware as soon as we get up, as soon as we go from dream state to waking state. So therefore he says, by anvaya vyatirek nyaya, that means that when I have the darshana of duality, when I can see the duality, when I can perceive the duality, when I can interact with the duality, and all these interactions are through what? Yes, they are through our sense organs and the organs of actions, but eventually through the mind. So therefore the mind is actually the cause of samsara. Because the mind is not active in the deep sleep, and therefore it has not created any samsara for me. Therefore the famous statement, mana eva manushyanam karana bandha moksha yoho. Mana eva manushyanam karana bandha moksha. Mind is the cause of bondage, and mind can be the cause for freedom. This is the idea that he is saying. So therefore now let us see the stanza. Now I should warn you that some of these stanzas that are coming are very poetic, and it may be almost impossible to translate it word by word. In fact, Gurudev also has given a very running commentary to some of these stanzas. So we'll get the meaning of this stanza, and we will not focus so much on translating it word by word. Stanza 31st. Mano drushyamidam dvaitam. Mano drushyamidam dvaitam. Yatkinchit sacharacharam. Yatkinchit sacharacharam. Manaso amani bhave. Manaso amani bhave. Dvaitam nevo palabhyate. Dvaitam nevo palabhyate. Yeah, thank you. I realize I done it. I have chanted it. So, mano drushyam idam dvaitam. It is the mind which is perceiving the duality. Dvaitam, duality. Drushyam, perceiving. Idam, here. Mano, mind. It is the mind which perceives the duality here. What kind of duality? Yat kinchit. Anything that is there. Anything that is there. And it can be divided into two classifications, chara and acharam. So yat kinchit sachara acharam. That which is chara, that which is moving, and that which is not moving. So mountains and rocks and stuff like that, animals and humans and those who are moving, moving or unmoving. The entire creation is actually visible to us because of mind. And it is very true, it is because of the thought process, isn't it? The moment I see a tree, the thought arises that this is a tree. So I perceive the tree as a thought. I perceive everything else as a thought. If you're trying to convey something to me, that has to actually come into the mind, and then I have to understand what you're trying to say. It happens very fast. But so therefore the whole creation is actually in the thoughts. Thoughts are in the mind. In fact, mind is nothing other than flow of thoughts. So therefore he says, mano drasyedam, drasyamidam dvaitam, yat kinchit tatirat. Now he says, this is the golden sentence. Manaso amani bhave. When we create an amani bhava, when we dissolve the mind, dvaitam na eva upalabhyate. There cannot be any dvaita possible. No duality can be possible. So what we have to do is dissolve the mind. So as long as we work through the mind, which we have to at the transactional level, there is duality and there is samsara. If I can create the mind, if I can dissolve the mind, and you have to be very careful understanding dissolving the mind. Don't think that therefore we are becoming mindless. Because Right now we are, we will be, if it is mindlessness can give us the moksha, if mindlessness can give us the freedom, then that will not work, isn't it? That is like right now we are thoughtfully ignorant, then we'll become thoughtlessly ignorant. That is not what this mindlessness means. It has a pretty important meaning, so we'll look at that. So this amani bhava is to be developed. Then there will be no samsara. So what is this amani bhava? Let us see. He himself will elaborate on that in the next few stanzas. Let us see how many of them we can see today. By the way, this amani bhava is also called as manonasha. And that leads to more confusion because people think that manonasa means destruction of the mind. Oh, what will happen to me if my mind is completely destroyed? How can I function? No. Mind will not be destroyed. The ignorant mind will become the wise mind. What manonasa amani bhava means is the ignorant mind will become the wise mind. And as a wise mind, I will be seeing all the duplicity, I'll be seeing the multiplicity of the world, but I will also know at the same time that it has no reality to it. Just like we see the sun setting and the sun rising, and we even in the newspaper or in the TV or somewhere, we also say what is the sunset time and what is the sunrise time. But we know that really speaking, the sun is not rising, the sun is not setting. We see the blue color of the sky. And we take it as blue and we actually show other people also, well, today the sky is so spotlessly blue. But we know, although when we say that, we know that the blueness of the sky is not really there, isn't it? So similarly, when the mind becomes wise, we will see that the world is there, but it's an apparently real. Real reality is not there, and therefore my transaction with the world will be according to that knowledge. Okay. Now let us see if we can chant stanza number 32.
आत्मसत्यानुबोधेन न संकल्पयते यदा अमनस्तां तदा याति ग्राह्या भावे तदग्रहम्।
So again, we have to understand that manonasa is not a physical destruction of the mind. It is just understanding, accepting, and imbibing in the mind that this world is mithya. So this destruction of the mind, this amani bhava, is created only through knowledge. And when we say this to create is through the knowledge, Satya Anubodhena, this stanza says, this knowledge about the truth, the knowledge about the Brahman is Anubodha. Anubodha indicates that we can get it from a guru, a teacher, who is Shrotriya Brahman is the teacher. A teacher who is well versed in the scriptures and who himself or herself is established in the truth and the scripture. Because the teacher is also going to quote what? Scriptures only. So through Shastra and Guru, when I get this knowledge, Satyanubodhana, about what? Knowledge about this Atma, the Atma. Na sankalpate yada. It does not perceive any duality. So no sankalpa vikalpa will be there. No duality will be perceived. And yati, at that time, what happens? What happens is, Amanastam tada. This is as good as, so I get an amani bhav. Amani bhav is there is no mind at all. So it is as good as saying that there is no mind at all. Therefore, it is not really causing any problems from the samsara. So we can relatively say or effectively say that samsara has disappeared. So the samsara sagar ab nahi raha and all that, those bhajans that come. Sukha gaya samsara. That is what it means. That is the amani bhava is created. So therefore, effectively, no samsara is there. We don't have to actually cross over this mire of delusion, because there is really no mire of delusion at all. Knowledge has become mind. I have removed the delusion to the proper apprehension of reality. So tada yati. Then the last two words, grahya bhave tada graham. So absence of grahya bhave, this absence of this perceived duality, is actually tad graham, is actually achieved. So this is cognizance. This is the meaning of. Now, here we have to understand that not only mind should not be destroyed, and mind need not be destroyed in order to get there. So we should not do any jora jori with the mind. In other words, we should not try to suppress the mind or anything like that. Because as a matter of fact, mind cannot be destroyed. How can the mind be destroyed? If Brahman alone exists, and Brahman is the real reality, then mind is also Brahman. So it is the ignorance that is need to be removed, not the mind itself that is to be removed. So this is like Vedantic story of destruction of pot. We are told that pot is there, and the pot space is there, and is surrounded by the total space. Now when we break the pot, do we say that the pot space and the total space has merged? No. The pot space was total space even when the pot was there. The pot space is the total space even when the pot is broken. But did we have to physically break the pot? No. We mentally broke the pot, isn't it? Similarly, no physical destruction of mind is necessary. Only mentally we have to understand what mind is. We have to understand what the world is. And by that proper understanding of this reality, I will be able to destroy the mind. The absence of perceivable duality is the tad anugraham, the tad graham, that is the absence of perceivable duality is the outcome of creating amanusibhava. Right. So this is actually, so now we have actually gone to the actual content of the world. What is the actual content of the world is Brahman. Just as the actual content of all wooden furniture is wood. Similarly, the actual content of the world is Brahman. So that is why it is called Satya Atma. This Satya Atma, Atma Satyanu Bodhana. This is how the word started. So this Sat Atma is what we actually get established in. So what is Atma Jnanam? Atma Jnanam is removal of all the misconceptions about the self. So the guru and the sastra, the teacher and the scriptures cannot give me Atma Jnanam. Revelation has to happen on my own. Revelation has to happen in me. Guru or the sastra cannot reveal the reality to me. This is my subjective experience. How can it, the subjective experience be given? Objective experience can be given. If I say, no, I have not seen the most latest iPhone, a friend can actually buy it and show it to me and say, look, this is how it looks like. This is objective experience. How can a subjective experience be given? So therefore, the teacher and the scriptures don't give us the anubhava of reality, cannot reveal the reality. They can only do one thing, which is the most important thing, and that they can remove the misconception about who I am. So that is what they do, and that is how we get reality. Okay, that is how we get established in reality. Let us do at least one more. Stanza number 33. Stanza number 33, an important, but again a concept that we have seen before in other texts also. So it should not be too difficult. Okay. Now this is really a poetic stanza, so I am not going to give you word by word meaning here. Let us chant together. Oh, sorry, let us chant one after the other.
अकल्पकमजं ज्ञानम् अकल्पकमजं ज्ञानम् ज्ञेया भिन्नं प्रचक्षते ज्ञेया भिन्नं प्रचक्षते ब्रह्मज्ञेयमजं नित्यं ब्रह्मज्ञेयमजं नित्यं येजानजं विबुध्यते अजेनाजं विबुध्यते. So this ajenajam vibhutyate.
Ajenajam.
This we have to add an ajam there also. Ajam ajenajam vibhutyate. Ajam means unborn. Unborn here stands for atma. So atma, the self, is known by, so unborn is known by unborn alone. That is to say that atma, the self, is self-revealed by itself. No other pramana is necessary. See, this is an important concept. But we have seen it again and again, but it may not hurt to go over it very quickly again. The Atma Gnan, the self-experience, is very unique. Isn't it? We go on saying it is a subjective experience. We never had any subjective. In fact, we are having subjective experience every minute, but we are just not aware of it. For the last hour or so, I have been talking. You've been listening, trying to understand what I'm saying. Maybe some of it is making sense, some of it is not making sense. Then I ask you, are you in the class? Are you in the lecture? And you'll say, of course you are in the lecture. I'm in the lecture. Isn't it? What kind of a question? But then I say, were you aware that you are in the lecture? You didn't check minute to minute, time to time, every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whether I'm in the lecture, isn't it? But you know you were in the lecture. You didn't even think about it, but you were in the lecture. That is vibhutyate. That is the self-revelation of Atma. You don't have to see. You don't have to think. You don't have to bring any additional torchlight or any light or flashlight or whatever. You know you are there, even though you may not be mentally aware, intellectually aware. But if you ask, you will immediately say, yes, of course I was here. What do you mean? That is the self-revealing capacity of Atman. So therefore, this revelation of Atman will happen on its own. And this Atmagnan is very unique, because here the teacher says, Gaudapada Acharya says, that every other knowledge requires Triputi. Every other knowledge which is objective experience require a pramata, the knower, the prameya, the known object, and the pramana, the instrument through which I came to know. So for me, I am the pramata, I am seeing you on the screen. So you are the prameya. And what is the instrument? My eyes. So pramana is my eyes, pramata is me, and prameya is you. So I am the knower, you are the known, and then I require some instrument of knowledge in order to know you. But in this Atma Jnana, I am self-evident. So I don't require, I know myself by myself. I don't require any other instrument. I don't require any other pramana to reveal myself. And so this is what is known as Atma Jnana. So the teacher here says, if we have to translate this, maybe in a very broad manner, let me translate it. The first part of the stanza says, unborn knowledge is free from any imagination. Akalpakap ajam jnanam. Ajam jnanam, unborn knowledge. Why this is unborn? Because if this knowledge is with me at all times, I am just not aware of it. If I have to acquire the knowledge about myself, I will not be able to acquire it, because it is not the knowledge about the jiva. It is not the knowledge about this limited entity called me. It is the knowledge about the big capital I, Brahman, which is infinite, all pervasive, all present, all knower. How can I come to experience, how can I come to know it? Through my finite efforts, through my finite mind and intellect, through my individualized entity. It is impossible.
Therefore, he says it is unborn knowledge. Ajam jnanam akalpakam. It is free from any imagination. So when revelation takes place, no imaginations are necessary. It is a very profound subjective experience that puts us in totally different orbit. Neya bhinna prachaksati. It is different from all the known objective knowledge that we have. Brahma gneyam ajam nityam. Ajena ajam vibhujyate. The unborn Brahman is the object of knowledge. And the unborn Brahman is also the subject of knowledge. And the unborn Brahman, because it is vibhujyate, because it is self-revealing, there is no other additional pramana is necessary. So therefore, pramata, pramey, and pramana, this triputi completely vanishes. In what? Brahma jnana. In knowledge about yourself. So therefore here, Gaudapada Acharya has already given what is the cause of samsara and what is the remedy of samsara. Maybe a good place to stop for today. Because now in the 34th stanza, which I was hoping to cover, it is a little doubt is there in the mind of the student. So the doubt is being addressed by Gaudapada Acharya. And the doubt is very, very simple. The 34th and the 35th stanza will go together, so it's actually better if we do it together tomorrow. The doubt is simple. I'll tell you the doubt, and then we'll look at the stanza and we'll remove the doubt. The doubt is that what is the difference in experience of a jnani and the experience of a deep sleeper?
Oh.
Now here when he says deep sleeper, he doesn't really mean the deep sleeper alone. He also means a yogi who is in nirvikalpa samadhi. So is the experience of a yogi in nirvikalpa samadhi, which is compared with a deep sleeper, is it the same as the experience of a jnani, a person, an Advaita Vedantin who has actually acquired and imbibed the knowledge into his personality? Is there any difference? And obviously the answer will be yes. Not only there is a difference, there is a big difference.
Yep.
So tomorrow we will see first what is that big difference, and then we will move on to cover this. Reflect upon what we have just discussed today in your own time. Revel in it. And let us all try to rise to that knowledge. Let us chant Om one time before the Santi Party. Take a deep breath.
Om Shanti, Shanti.